Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, congratulations on getting through your 9-to-5. Thank you so much for listening. It is The Drive. You are listening to The Drive on 96.5 The Fan, 96.5thefan.com, and also the Odyssey app. We've been having a lot of fun today. Hopefully, you guys have had a great day as well. I would encourage you to check out the podcast page. We have talked about a lot of things today. I would like to get to the Royals. We will talk about the Royals coming up in just a bit. But before we do that, let's talk about the top story right now in sports. You guys will find this hard to believe because there have not been many times where I thought that Major League Baseball was the top story in sports. I think it is. I don't think on this Tuesday that the Final Four, I don't think there is an NFL story that is the top. I think the number one story right now in sports is the bats that the players are using in baseball. Man, it feels good to be talking about baseball. So, for those of you that don't know what's going on right now, there is a new bat called the Torpedo Bat. So this bat was engineered from Aaron Leanhart is his name. So he started working with the Yankees hitters to find out some improvements. And he is a MIT graduate, physics professor, went to University of Michigan. He quit academics because he's a big baseball fan and wanted to find out more effective and more efficient ways to use a baseball bat. So he helped come up with this idea of the Torpedo Bat. So this bat fits Major League Baseball collective bargaining dimensions. It has the right shape, the right barrel size, the right length, and the right weight. So this is not a measure of cheating. They are not circumventing the rules. They have simply reimagined what a baseball bat looks like. Here is the latest from Jeff Passan of ESPN.
And I heard from pitchers and they said, I don't like this. And it's interesting because for so long, Brian, the game has been tilting more toward the pitching side, especially when it comes to the use of technology. You can put a pitcher in a lab now, and he can design a new pitch over a weekend and implement it in games, whether it's a changeup, a slider, whatever it is. They figured out on the pitching side how to iterate and how to maximize themselves. And hitters have been searching for a similar thing for a long time now. And this may just be a first step. This isn't going to be adopted by everyone in the game, but it illustrates that technology can help hitters as well.
A couple of things. First thing, I'm for this. I think you have to accept that technology is going to constantly evolve the sport. For those of you that play golf, the clubs that you use in 2025 are not the same technology as the clubs that you were using in 1995. The clubs that you have now are better. They help you hit the ball further, straighter. The technology has improved your golf game. If you look at football, I'm imagining the gloves that the current players are using are different than the gloves that Lynn Swann wore back in the 70s. Technology has made it easier for football players to catch the football. The cleats, all of those things have helped with the performance on the field. What makes that different than what we're talking about here with this torpedo bat? We're not talking about they've done anything illegal. They have simply reshaped and reimagined the configuration of the bat. They didn't take anything away. They didn't add anything to it. It fits the dimensions that have been agreed upon from the players and the owners and the teams. Everybody is on the same page that this is legal. Why are we against this then? Isn't this the natural evolution of any sport? Isn't this the natural evolution of technology? And we've allowed technology to be a major part of the sports that we watch. They just said today that they are getting rid of the chain gang, and now they are going to start using technology to determine whether or not you get a first down. Some of you want automated balls and strikes. You want expanded replay. So wait, you're telling me that technology is good to use if we're going to get it right, but then using technology is not good to help the players run faster, bigger, stronger, make more catches? We're not talking about illegal enhancements. This is not steroids. This is perfectly legal. We have just taken the wood from one part of the bat and moved it to another part of the bat. You still got to get up there and hit it, don't you? You still got to make contact. This is the normal cat and mouse game of any professional sport. The offense has done something. Now it is up to the defense to figure it out. I remember there was a time when people looked at the spread offense like this was some magical revolution that defenses would never be able to figure it out. You guys remember this? I remember being told at one point, you guys can't run that offense. Well, yeah, you can. Players started to figure it out, and it worked. And then eventually the defense figured it out, and then we thought the defense caught up. And pitchers will figure this out. And some players are going to use it and some players are not going to use it. Some guys are going to feel comfortable and some guys are going to adjust. Some people are going to say, hey, I've been using this same bat now for 15 years. I'm not interested in changing bats. I want to continue to use this one. But you should have the choice. I'm on the player side with this. And I do find it interesting. And I hope that we get more of a sample size. And I hope we get more pieces of evidence and data to see how the bat works. Some guys are going to use it. Some guys are not going to use it. What does that mean for batting average? What does that mean for on-base percentage? What does that mean for slugging percentage? What are the home runs going to look like when the weather heats up? We're talking about this is a March and early April thing. What are those bats going to do when we get to June and July when the weather heats up and it's easier to hit during that time? So I'm really excited about what this means, and I'm happy that more and more players are going to use it. And we all know how this works. It's a copycat league. Some players are going to try it. Some players are going to love it. Some players are going to try and they're going to hate it. It's different. Rob, you know, I cannot sit on the other side to do this show. It just doesn't feel right. It's just everything over there is the same. It's the same computer, the same chair, the same microphone. I've tried it. I do not feel comfortable sitting over there. Some players are going to pick up the torpedo bat. They're going to use it, and they're going to be like, no, I'm cool. Now, what does that mean? So I find this story to be pretty interesting, and I'm pretty excited to see what this looks like. Are there any players on the Royals that are using this bat?
None to my knowledge as of now. I was listening to Vern's postgame yesterday, and he's as of now, we do not know if any Royals players are using it. I imagine every day in postgame, they're going to be asked about it. Hey, using a torpedo bat? Using a torpedo bat? It's like, I eventually will find out.
Okay. We'll see.
Can I say that I hate the Yankees? I think the reason this story is a big deal is because the Yankees. Like if the Oakland Athletics were tearing the cover off the ball with a torpedo bat, do you think we'd be talking about it? Or the fact that it's the Yankees and it makes it feel icky, is that why it's coming up? I feel like the market has a major factor
here.
Yeah,
but I also feel like this would have been the case if it was any decent team, though. You're right. I don't know if we would have done this if this was the Sacramento A's, but I mean, if the Boston Red Sox had done this, I think we'd be having this conversation. If the Cubs had had this kind of weekend, if the Dodgers had had this kind of weekend, like, I'm with you. I do think this is a heightened story because the Yankees were so good this past weekend. But I do think there's a handful of markets that I think this would have been a story regardless on if they had used the bat or not. All right. That was one thing that we talked about in today's show. We're actually off at 5:30 today because of the Royals. So We'll get out of here a little bit early today. So I want to read to you guys a quote from Andy Reid. Andy Reid met with the media earlier today and said this. Quote, I think Pacheco will be even better this year. He was forcing that thing coming back last year. Most guys probably wouldn't have come back from his injury. But if you know him for a minute, you know that he wasn't going to be held back. So I think you'll get an even better player this year. I'm not going to say that it's that surprising. But I am a little stunned at how many people in some ways have just given up on Isaiah Pacheco. And it's almost like people forgot what he did the first couple of seasons. And just last year, because he fought through an injury and came back when I think he very easily just could have said, hey, I'm going to get surgery. I'm out for the rest of the season. I don't really know why, how we got here with Isaiah Pacheco. If you are one of those people that believes contract year is undefeated, this is a really, really important year for Isaiah Pacheco. He is 26 years old. He is 26 years old with an injury history and a seventh round pick running back. You ain't made no money yet. You have run your heart out for a team the last 3 years and have not properly been compensated for doing that because of the rules of the sport that you play. You got one more year to set yourself up. Now, Isaiah Pacheco is never going to make the huge bag. He ain't getting Saquon Barkley's contract. But could Isaiah Pacheco get 2 years for $8 million somewhere next year? Could he get two for 12 somewhere next year? Sure, he got a ball out this upcoming season. So I feel pretty good about Isaiah Pacheco, but I still want them to go get another running back. Number one, I think Isaiah Pacheco is fine. I think Isaiah Pacheco is a strong 1B or number two running back on most teams that have an established guy. So I'm perfectly fine with Isaiah Pacheco coming back next year as your 1B, number two running back on your team. What I will continue to bang the drum for, and I'm telling you, you guys are going to be tired of me saying this year. They need to get more explosive. Last year, the Chiefs had the fewest rush attempts that went over 20 yards of any team in the National Football League. They did not have any explosiveness in their offense. They were bad on deep passes. That is not an opinion. That is a fact by almost every metric that they were bad on deep passes and they had no explosion in the running game. All right. Well, this season, that's why I've been so big on younger and explosive. They had two runs last year from a running back that went over 20 yards. That's not good enough. It's not good enough. Go find some explosiveness. Find it in the pass game. Find it in the run game. And coming up in 23 days, the draft is in 23. Michael Jordan, 23 days. You need to find a home run hitter in the draft. And home run hitter is varying degrees. You don't have to go find Aaron Judge or prime Barry Bonds or Sammy Sosa. I'm not saying you got to find a top five running back in the league. No. Do you guys think the Chiefs have a top 20 running back in the league on their team right now? A top 20. Do they have a top 25 running back in the league on their team right now? I think the answer is no. Well, there's going to be at least three of those guys in this year's NFL draft. I think there's going to be one or two of those guys that don't get picked in round one. Sure, Hampton from North Carolina is going to get drafted high. Ashton Jeanty's going to get drafted high. I think there's going to be a Ollie Gordon, a Devin Neal, a DJ Giddens. There's going to be a couple of those backs that end up being really, really productive. Find one of them. Find some explosiveness in your run game. I will continue to be on that side. I will continue to feel this way. Explosive plays from your offense come from explosive players. And I don't think that Patrick Mahomes, who is in the prime of his career, I don't think that he got less explosive. I think the parts around him did. And I think that last year, you expected him to keep putting up MVP numbers, even though you gave him the worst run game that he's had in his career, the worst offensive line that he's had in his career, the worst version of Travis Kelce that he's had in his career, and probably the 21st best wide receiver room last season. I mean, their wide receiver room was not great after all the injuries happened. I just don't know how you can expect to have an explosive offense if that's the case.
Let me ask you this. And it might be, it definitely is impossible for you to answer. But everything the Chiefs have done or said this offseason, they feel like they're in a good spot. They brought back Kareem Hunt, who last year was not good by any metric. He wasn't bad. I'm not saying he was a bad player. He just wasn't good. He was just
fine.
Yeah,
he was fine. Yeah, I'm with you.
They brought him back. They brought in Elijah Mitchell on the first day of free agency. Now, remember, Twitter was down that day, so I think it was technically the second move of free agency.
Yeah, they didn't really pay it. They didn't pay him a whole lot of money.
Yet. They clearly were targeting him early because they got him done the day tampering ended. So they did that. And now Andy Reid is speaking to the media down in sunny Florida at the owners' meetings, and he's talking up Isaiah Pacheco. They're talking about, oh, we knew he'd come back less than 100%. That's just his character, but we expect big things in 2025. Don't their actions and words sound like and act like a group that isn't going to be targeting a running back at a premium time in this draft? Maybe they find the next Pacheco in the seventh round. Maybe it's whomever. But
I hope that they're swinging bigger than having Isaiah Pacheco. And I like Isaiah Pacheco. Someone on the text line says, "CDOT, haven't you think we needed a running back?" Yeah, I do think they need a running back. I think Isaiah Pacheco is a number two, and it's not a bad thing. In the NFL, with the way that teams handle running backs, having a really good back that you trust to get you 150 to 175 carries, that is not a bad thing to happen. But we've seen 3 years of Isaiah Pacheco as a team's number one running back. He's never run 4,000 yards, and he basically missed last season with an injury. I know he played. He had 83 carries and had 300 yards last year. It was noticeable he was not healthy at any point last season. Isaiah Pacheco cannot be your number one running back. He cannot be. He's not good enough to be your number one running back. So find one in this year's draft class. Find one. I hear you guys tell me all the time about how your number one objective is to make Pat's life easy and protect Patrick Mahomes. When Rob and I say, well, hey, maybe you should get rid of Trey Smith. No, you got to protect Pat. You know the best way to protect Patrick Mahomes? Hand the football off to a good running back. You don't get hit if you hand the ball off. You don't get sacked. You don't run and twist your ankle. You know what you do? Hut, hut, hike, and you turn around, and you hand it to a running back, and then he runs for 6 yards. It's great. The best versions of the Chiefs' offense has been with some capability of them running the football. I'm not saying you got to find Saquon Barkley in this draft. I'm not. Can they find James Conner in this draft? Rob, you're a college football fan. Is James Conner in this draft class?
I mean, there are a lot of James Conners in this draft class. Ollie Gordon feels like James Conner.
Give me him. Take him.
Trayvon Henderson might be better than James Conner.
I would love James Conner in this draft class. Do you think that Bucky Irving is in this draft class?
Probably.
Because I'm just saying, is James Conner the last two seasons has run for over 1,000 yards, and he had 5 yards a carry in 2023 and had 4.6 yards per carry in 2024 and had 8 touchdowns and 7 touchdowns. And none of us are calling James Conner a top 10 back in the league. Go draft James Conner!
Let me ask you this. If they find their Bucky Irving, how much playing time is available for him? Because that's my point earlier. Their actions and words make it sound like we got our three. Because you don't really need to carry a running back room of 5 or 6. It's not a position you do that at. If they found Bucky Irving in round 5, let's just say it's DJ Giddens. I'll pick a K-State guy.
I would love Bucky Irving.
Let's say it's DJ Giddens. How much run is DJ Giddens going to get with this team? Do you think DJ Giddens gets on the field before Kareem Hunt?
Yes,
probably not.
I do.
The way Andy Reid prefers guys who, and I'm quoting here, know the system, I would bet you that Andy Reid, early going, would prefer Kareem Hunt. And I bet Pacheco is going to get the run early going. Like, I hear what you're saying, and I actually agree with you. I just worry that's an already full room, and adding a rookie is more, hey, we're looking at 2026 type of energy, which I wouldn't like, but I think that could be coming down the pipe.
Yeah, but where I think I would disagree with you is Andy's never shown that with a running back. Sure, we can find some wide receiver examples, but, I mean, they gave a seventh-round rookie, Isaiah Pacheco, they gave him 170 carries when he was a rookie. They gave Clyde Edwards-Helaire carries when he was a rookie. They gave Kareem Hunt was their number one running back when they were a rookie. They've never shown that they won't use rookie running backs. Now, sure, Giddens got to prove it on the field, got to be healthy, in this analogy, go through training camp. Yeah, all of those things, but They've never slow played a rookie for the second half of the season the way they have at wide receiver. So yeah, if you go draft Ollie Gordon in the fourth round, I think that Ollie Gordon is the best running back on their team then. So I expect him to get the touches. You've got the rookie as your number one. You've got Pacheco as a pretty strong number two. You've got your change of pace, short yardage running back when it comes to Kareem Hunt. And I'm assuming Elijah Mitchell is a break in case of emergency if an injury happens. And you pop in and we'll see if you can help. That's how I would play the Chiefs running back room if I'm them. But I will continue to maintain. They need pop in their offense. Text line 913-586-7965. C-Dot, Novak is getting 1,000 yards in this offense. They don't run it enough. I don't know how many times I have to tell you guys that's not true. Last year, Kareem Hunt had six fewer carries than James Cook did. He had six. He had six fewer yards than James Cook. You guys saw James Cook. He ran for 1,000 yards last year on 200 carries. James Cook had 207 carries last year, ran for 1,000 yards, and 5 yards a carry. They gave Kareem Hunt 200 carries, and he got less than 800 yards. They run the ball enough to get a 1,000-yard running back. They just don't have good running backs. They don't have good ones. Yes, they do run it enough. We spend our time arguing if getting 3.6 yards per carry is good. That was good for 47th in the NFL last year on players that qualified. If they could just get what Kareem Hunt did to 4.6, he would have went from 47th in yards per carry last year to 14th. That's the difference in adding 1 yard per carry more. You go from out of 50 running backs that qualify, you're 47th to 14th. By just being a 4.6 yard per carry back, they can find that back in this year's draft class. They can. They can find him. That's the team I'm on. Rob, shout out Baker University real quick, please.
The hits are brought to you by Baker University, where graduates earn higher salaries and land jobs faster than any other university in Kansas. Apply today at bakeru.edu.
All right, we'll be back tomorrow after the Royals' day game. They play at noon tomorrow. We'll probably be on around 3:30, 4 o'clock tomorrow. All right, see you guys then. Take care of yourself. It's The Drive.